Jalen Jacoby is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven.
And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What a Dell.
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen and Jacoby, what is it that
we
do?
Give the people what they want.
We're doing two pod exclusives this week. This will be our last week of doing a midweek pod exclusive. We're always going to give you an exclusive weekend edition, but we wanted to give you an extra playoff coverage. We have one game tonight, and that, of course, is between the Bucks and the Nets. Excited about that one, but we want to turn our attention to some of the teams that aren't in the playoffs, because we talked about this briefly on the television portion of the show. We didn't have enough time to really break it down. And that is the drama between Luka and the Mavs and what's going on there. The Athletic did some reporting. They found that Haralabob, known from the Bill Simmons Grantland era as a BS report contributor, a cult NBA social media figure, a former professional gambler that was hired for the analytics department of the Dallas Mavs. There were some reports about tension between him and Luka in the middle of a game. There were some reports about him having a little bit more power in the organization than those expected. There's also reports that he was involved in the rotations. All of this was shot down by Mark Cuban as total bleep bleep. Mr. Rose, how do you feel about these reports?
Luka's not worried, so I'm not worried. And the reason why I know he isn't worried is that I watched them play a series where his team lost to the Clippers, and he was so very special. And in the closeout game, he had 46 points and 14 assists. The game they won in the series, only two of their players scored in double figures. He had 40 and Tim Hardaway had 20, and everybody else had single digits. Porzingis never truly emerged as the second best player on a contending team. And so when Luka loses that series and he goes to the podium and someone asks him about his future and whether he is going to remain with the Mavs, he didn't say, I just lost a tough series. I'm gonna talk to my agent, I'm gonna talk to my family, I'm gonna try to figure it out. Because you know that's what 99.9% of people do.
Mm-hmm.
He actually said, oh, I'm signing. I'm resigning. So if he's not worried, I'm not worried. Now, who should be worried is our former Grantland homie.
Haralabob.
Because if Mark Cuban has to publicly come out and denounce your role and has to publicly come out and acknowledge whether it's true or not, there may be some dysfunction happening within the organization with you and Luka, and I want Luka to re-sign. So therefore, hey Luka, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. How do you feel about Bob? And when Luka says he not seeing eye to eye with Bob, the Atlantic report is going to be validated. If Luka does resign and Bob keeps his job, that denounces what happened in the article. We'll know the answer. It'll be right in front of us.
We'll see. And I think that a lot of time when there's a sort of a hit piece about someone at the workplace, the source is usually someone else at the workplace that sees them as competition. That's usually how it goes. It's usually just not some reporter noticing something from the sideline. Usually somebody digging around, talking to people that talk to people, and someone kind of feels like Haralabob is on their corner professionally, so they have some things to say and they have some stories to tell. But
there's another word for that I want to make sure I get on wax. You mean jealousy. What basically Jacoby is saying, everybody, he said it in a professional way, basically other people that you work with who want your opportunity are basically trying to put out negative things on your name. All of us have to deal with that in every profession that we deal with, unfortunately.
When it comes down to if Mark Cuban has to make a decision between Luka Doncic, the future face of the NBA, and Haralabob Bulgaris, who's homie, something tells me that he's probably going to side.
It's a damn shame what happened to Haralabob.
Oh, Haralabob's going to get paid on the way out and all that. Yeah, everything. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
But we will see, because sometimes things like this just blow over and everyone just shows up next year ready to go. The only question is not so much as whether Haralabob's going to be in Dallas. Is Kristaps Porzingis going to be in Dallas? Because that was supposed to be the duo right there. That was supposed to be the future.
So let me tell you what happens in professional sports when you're not a superstar. I'm speaking from firsthand experience. When you're not a superstar, but you have the potential to play at an all-star level, I know exactly what that's like. And let me tell you guys something. Porzingis' next stop, they're going to appreciate him. You know why? Because it ain't going to be the Knicks and he has to be the best player. It ain't going to be the Mavs and he has to be the second best player. It's going to be the Miami Heat, for example, where he has to be the third best player.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. Look at how Carmelo Anthony reinvented himself just by getting re-signed with the Blazers. If Carmelo Anthony never returns to the Blazers, the ending of his career is unceremonious.
To say the least.
Right? It's unceremonious. He doesn't get gratified the way a Hall of Famer deserves if he doesn't come back with the Blazers. If Chris Paul doesn't go to Oklahoma City and he doesn't go to the Phoenix Suns, people still question him like they did when he was with the Clippers, like they did when he was with the Rockets. When you're around long enough, that's why I mean it's important for somebody to call you a veteran in any industry. You still have to overcome the turbulence, like Porzingis is having to overcome people slandering his name and assassinate his character, and us having this conversation we're having. He's telling himself with a rational confidence, I killed in the bubble. He's telling himself, I was an all-star in New York. And so on paper, we're going to say, man, it's going to be tough to deal Porzingis. No, it's not. If I had, like, the NBA teams in front of me, just the standings, I could go through each team and tell you, like, two or three contracts that could get moved that people feel like probably can't get moved.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking at you, Nicholas Batum, who, by the way, went to Charlotte. He's another example of what I'm talking about, a veteran. His services were appreciated because he was balling out in Portland. Charlotte took the leap of faith on him and gave him $120 million to play basketball. That was a bad decision to pay him to be your best player.
No one said his name for 2 years.
And all he did was keep getting them checks. Ski mask and gloves. Did he even play?
Yeah, he did. He did.
And I know he dealt with some injuries, and I'm talking tongue-in-cheek, but my point still stands. We now can appreciate him as a role player with the Clippers because he doesn't have to be the best player like he was charged to be with Charlotte. And he's not making the kind of money there that he's making. He's not making the kind of money with the Clippers that he was making there. So for Porzingis, I'm telling you what's going to happen. He's going to end up somewhere else. He'll be a good Piston. Like, I can't front.
You put anybody on the Pistons.
Every time someone comes up, all I know is this. I look at him like a distressed property. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I mean.
I see the potential in the 7-footer, 7'3" guy. And I'm telling you, he'd be nice shooting from downtown Detroit. He really would. He really would.
Well, the Mavs, I think that they will deal him, and I think they're going to get 70 cents on the dollar, and I think they're going to be fine with that. But when you talk about unmovable contracts, every contract is movable. Remember, John Wall had an unmovable contract.
Correct.
Moved. Chris Paul one time had an unmovable contract, was moved. Russell Westbrook had an unmovable contract, was
correct.
Moved. you know, these things do happen. But we will see about that. Something tells me this all blows over. They end up moving Porzingis at some point. And hopefully he has a long career somewhere else.
I didn't read the Atlantic report, but I have to, you know, without saying too much inside pool, you know, and I brought it up on this show, and I ain't gonna go into detail about it because I know too much about the story, but Luka and Porzingis aren't a dynamic duo on or off the floor. They're not. And this idea that two international players are supposed to get along is absurd. And ultimately, Luka, like Porzingis, they both want to win. Like, we all want to win. But I just don't believe that their games are compatible based on what the Mavs like to do offensively. Rick Carlisle has specifically said he believes the post-up is the lowest percentage play in basketball. Well, if I'm good at posting up, that means I don't fit here.
Mm-mm. And KP isn't Joel Embiid, but when he was with the Knicks, they ran a lot of posts through him. And he had a little hook shot that worked, a little turnaround that worked. He had a little like Joel Embiid post game, obviously. Joel Embiid, we'll call it.
Basketball is always going to be a tall man's game. It always is. And you know what you always need that tall man to do? Score in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no way around it. We need our tall, I don't care where you playing. In the backyard, at the park, 3-on-3, 5-on-5. Everybody's gonna say, hey, big fella. It's great that you Dirk. It's great that you're Larry. But when you miss like one or two, can you like go into that color area and like just be tall, like change a shot, block a shot, grab a rebound. Like it's a tall man's game.
Just be tall.
Just be tall. Does the coaches say, just be tall. You know what I'm saying? I love Steph Curry, but him and Kevin Durant standing on the fence and I'm picking next, I'm taking the tall guy that can shoot, that has unlimited range. That's just how it works.
Kevin Durant is absolutely getting it done. And one thing about Kevin Durant is we're taping this before the pivotal Bucks-Nets game tonight, where it looks like both Irving and Harden will be out. Harden got upgraded to questionable, right? So before we get to Harden, I want to finish on Durant. I don't do this too much. I'm predicting a big win for Kevin Durant.
Wow.
I'm predicting a big win. Let me tell you why. Because we all watch P.J. Tucker. We all watch P.J. Tucker defend Kevin Durant all up in his body, being physical with him. Durant wasn't getting the calls, frustrating Durant. We've seen them go nose to nose. Durant's security guard got kicked out the series. Not just kicked out of Milwaukee. He got kicked out the whole series. Can't even get in the building anymore. Durant, you know, so much Durant slander over the past decade that I really feel that he can get it done, not alone. You're gonna need contributions from other players in the black and white of Brooklyn, but at home with that crowd, I feel like Kevin Durant, the energy changed when Kyrie went out. I feel like the energy changed that whole entire game. And I feel like now they know that Kyrie won't be playing, I think you're gonna see a much better Kevin Durant.
You know what, and I gotta say? Oh, sorry.
He has been getting it done, and this segment is brought to you by Grainger. For those that get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support and access to product experts. Call Grainger, go to Grainger.com/Jacoby, or just stop by a Grainger location.
So during what you said about Kevin Durant, you acknowledged that, you know, he's accepted slander. I got a news flash and a life trait for everybody out there. None of us are too big to be criticized. And one of the things I learned is sometimes your critics are actually right.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you handle that is what I learned over the course of my 48 years. The other thing I want to say is you right now can talk about the NBA. You could talk about 400 players. And then you can, I ain't gonna even just use a player as an example. You could say said player is an all-time great. You could say said player be balling. You could say said player be killing. How many times has said player ever hit you and say thank you?
Never.
Correct. But when you say something that the player doesn't like, then they respond. That's weak. See, for me, I will respond as, like, when I play, if somebody wrote an article on me or like talked positive about me and I saw it, I will thank them. I'll be like, good looking. And a lot of people don't realize this. You appreciate this one. My brother, the pop father, Bill Simmons, slandered Jalen Rose when he was a player.
So rude.
Slandered Jalen Rose as a player. Do y'all know this? The creator of this show, William A. Simmons, and his middle name ain't A. I just like calling him that. It just sound distinguished. You know what I'm saying? William A. Simmons wrote multiple columns about why Jalen Rose, of all things, y'all ready for this? Was overpaid.
I think he didn't write multiple columns about it. You took some stray shots in columns that were about the league. But it wasn't like using the headline, but still.
You said stray shots in columns with an S.
Yeah.
Okay. That's more than one. So I know Jacoby. Like as a player, you got antennas. I can be in Philly and I can hear somebody say, Jalen, you suck. I can turn around and look at a group of 10,000 people and pick out the person that said it. Because you get so used to being in those environments and reading people's body language and watching the response of other people, and like, you ultimately get to the solution. And so when Bill wrote slanderous things about me, I didn't say nothing to him about it. I didn't say one word to him about it. As a matter of fact, when I pitched him the idea to do this show, I still didn't say nothing about it. Why is that? Because I ain't care.
Yeah.
I ain't care.
Like, back to your original point, you might have been overpaid.
Well, no, you can joke about that. I don't joke about that. Okay. What if I said you were overpaid?
Probably am.
I wasn't. I've been underpaid my whole life. Until we get reparations, I'm going to always be underpaid. Because whatever I get, I got to feed myself, feed my family, and feed my community. So like, we always broke. Like Lil Duval say, I'm rich broke. And for our audience, like, Jacoby and I are brothers. And it's okay for us to agree to disagree. And I wanna elaborate on something. Because I listen when people speak, and sometimes the first thing people say is actually what they mean. So I wanna drill back on something. Circa early 2000s. Bill Simmons thought I was overpaid. Did you also think I was overpaid? Because you just said that you thought I was.
I didn't think about how much you were making back in the early 2000s. You've always said, wait, you deserve what you. Wait, what is it again? What's your payment?
He don't listen to me.
It's been 10 years. I've probably heard this a million times. What you had the leverage to negotiate. You deserve what you had the leverage to negotiate. There it is.
Correct. And so for Kevin Durant, because he was the impetus. I ain't never used that word, but it fit right there.
No, you did. I think you got it. You nailed it.
For this conversation, you know, you unlimited vocabulary range. Would you just come with impetus and you ain't used it since 1973? You know what I mean? Like, that's just wordplay. You know what I'm saying? But back to KD, he's been a guy that gets his love, Jacoby, that gets his respect. Mm-hmm. But when you leave OKC and you join the Warriors, we gonna say something. So did Bob Myers. So did Draymond Green. The whole world did. So did CJ McCollum. Like, you went to the run, dog. And normally, the two best players pick teams. They don't play on the same team. And that's what happened. And so, yeah, a lot of people didn't like that. However, when you won Finals MVP back-to-back years, what do we say? KD, best in the game. KD, king of the court. We gave him his flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, I think he has an opportunity. He has an opportunity like one he hasn't had previously in his career. Because remember OKC, him and Russell Westbrook were a tandem. Obviously, in the Warriors, they had what I would consider a super team. And now with the Nets, he's got superstars all over. And now it's a night or a series or three games or two games or one game, maybe even a half, where he has to carry the team by himself.
Well, I definitely feel PJ Tucker has guarded him the best that I've seen. He's gotten physical with him. He's taken him out of his comfort zone. And he does what you know that I like. You can't allow these great players to occupy the real estate from free throw line to the top of the key. You can't allow these great players to operate freely from the opposite free throw line to their three-point line. You gotta interrupt them. You gotta interrupt them. You can't just let these dudes just stroll right up like it's a drill and pull up. They gonna make that. You seen Chris Paul? They'll make that every single time. You don't let him weave through traffic and shoot from the right elbow? Like, he's gonna make that every single time. Like, it's a drill. And so that's what PJ Tucker has done that I appreciate. And so I disagree with you. I think if KD's the only person of the big three to play, I think Milwaukee also wins. Oh, and wait, somebody picked Milwaukee to win this series. That was me. That was me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I picked Milwaukee to win the series is because I didn't think the Nets would stay healthy. They only played together 10 times this year, and they wouldn't be able to slow down Giannis. I didn't know PJ Tucker was going to defend KD. That was wild. I didn't anticipate that one.
Something tells me this one's going to be interesting, you know, because the way they've upgraded James Harden, that's interesting. I don't think he's going to play tonight, but it means he's getting closer. And, you know, whether the Nets or the Bucks win game five, you still got to close out the other team in Milwaukee. This is an interesting series. I don't think we've seen the last of James Harden in it.
Stay tuned. It's going to be an exciting game.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Jalen, we have the all-defensive team for the 2021 NBA season. No real surprises. Gobert, Simmons, Draymond, Drew Holiday, Giannis in the first team. Second team, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, Matisse Thybulle, and Kawhi Leonard. I have one question for you, Jalen.
Yes,
let's
sir.
Imagine you're a playoff basketball team with championship aspirations. And you've got 30% of the all-defensive team. Shouldn't you have a better defense than the 76ers?
Yes. It is a blunt answer. But as you continue to progress in the playoffs, your weaknesses start to get exposed. And for the Sixers, you could put Joel Embiid in pick and roll. Just like you could put the Joker in pick and roll. And Chris Paul and Trae Young are two of the best in the game at doing so. Trae Young had 18 assists. You know I was at the game. Like, he was out there picking them apart, dog. He could have had, like, five more assists. It was two times on the fast break. He tried to throw it off the backboard to somebody to get a dunk. And it got stole. And there was another time where, like, he tried, like, he was just really in his bag. Like, he did, like, a between-the-leg pump fake. And he threw it to the wrong person. I felt like he should have, but anyway, I don't want to get too deep into the woods. Those are the two of the best players we have in the league at pick and roll. So, okay, Joel, you're going to dominate us on the post, but you about to get this pick and roll action. And on the other side, Thibault and Simmons can both load up on Trey at 6'9", 6'10", each. Because the Hawks don't have an athletic wing. That's why you draft DeAndre Hunter. That's why you draft Cam Reddish. So now those players were progressing like Hunter was. Like, Hunter's really good.
Yeah, he was. Ask a Knicks fan.
Yeah,
ask
he's
a Knicks
really
fan
good.
About Hunter.
Yeah, he made threes. Like, he played within himself. Like, I like him a lot.
He'll just pull up from 17 off the dribble, and he's so tall that whoever's guarding him can't really bother him. I mean,
absolutely.
He's not Kevin Durant with it, but he's young and he's good.
Correct. Let me tell you the gift and the curse for the Sixers. I said this on Get Up 3 years ago. You can Google it right now. Took a lot of slack. First person nationally came on. I talked about the non-compatibility in a lot of ways of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. And this goes to your defensive question. On offense, Ben got a severe hole in this game. He doesn't attempt shots outside of the paint. On defense, Embiid got a severe hole in his game. He struggles to guard pick and roll. They're the only team in the league in which their two best players aren't primary three-point shooters. So what does that mean? That means that they're getting their points inside of the three-point line. It means they're getting their points in the paint. That means they're getting their points from the free throw line. They want to play a physical, ugly half-court game. If you're the Hawks, you want to get out in transition. And the two games they won, Trey and Bogdanovich went off. In the two games that they lost, they were under control. So yes, having those three defensive players should force them to be a better defensive team. But the elephant in the room that you can really see when you're at the game, that people don't see on TV, Joel is laboring. Like, he was 0 for 12 in the second half. Let me repeat, 0 for 12 in the second half. And I stopped counting because I started to wonder, I stopped counting how many times he fell on the ground because I wanted to enjoy being with my kids. At first I was counting. And I was like at like 9. He fell on the floor 9 times. And 5 or 6 of those times, it was 5-on-4 the other way.
I believe it.
It was 5-on-4 the other way. And here's another thing. When they're in a huddle and the other 14 guys are gathered around the coach, the big fella's exhausted. He over there laid out on the floor looking up at the ceiling, dog. The big fella's exhausted. You know what I mean? Like, dog, you go ahead and just get some rest, dog. He was like Larry Bird late in his career when he came out the game, dog. But Larry had a bad back. He was exhausted. And when you're dealing with a torn meniscus, you can't really practice. So your conditioning ain't going to be optimal. And he's just a big human being, like trying to chase around these little jitterbugs like Trae Young. Like, that's tough. They'll do a stagger screen. He'll dribble underneath the three-point line. Then he'll dribble Embiid back right out to the three line. And now I got an ISO against the big fella.
With a torn meniscus.
Correct. With a torn meniscus. And so Philadelphia's defense, Jacoby, will continue to smother the Hawks. And if Joel Embiid can get over his exhaustion, they'll win this series. They'll win this series.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing exclusive content with our guests. A couple things. First of all, I want to take everybody behind the curtain. We had some technical difficulties, and this man, Jay Crowder, stayed with us for like 40
minutes.
Appreciate
the love.
Moved his camera around. We really appreciate that. You know, I know you're very busy. You got a lot going on.
It's all love.
So, I know you're going to kind of dodge this question, but I have to ask it. I know that the players on the Suns have seen the fan incident in the arena with the famous Suns and Four guy. Now, Devin Booker's kind of reached out on social media. When you guys see the clip, what's the conversation amongst the Suns?
See the clip? We saw it live. See the clip? I mean, we was breaking out of a timeout late in the fourth quarter of game three, and I felt like somebody said, what the heck is going on? Everybody looked up behind us, and there was a big brawl going on, and we were watching it. We were just watching it live. It was like, and then some of the guys tried to get some of the other guys just to lock in, finish the game, but we were up big, and we felt like we had the game, so we were watching the fight. But it was after we saw the film and saw what was going on, we saw the Suns fans say Suns in four. We thought it was crazy. We thought it was pretty cool, and we just all laughed about it. But we saw it live, though. We didn't see the video. We saw it live.
The homie from the Nuggets clearly ain't never been in a fight before. Because you know what happens when you swing on somebody? They're going to respond. And you didn't have the leverage. He just grabbed homie's jersey and just held him down. He didn't have a chance, Jay.
Hey, Jalen, they say usually when the guy on the top row hits the guy on the bottom row, he wins. The top row guy wins. Not in this case, though. Not in this case, if you thought.
Absolutely. So another thing about like having fans back in the building, and I couldn't wait to ask you this question because I know how like being a player and watching Russell Westbrook go to the tunnel and somebody throw popcorn on him, or somebody throw a water bottle at Kyrie, or a fan have the nerve to spit on Trae Young. Yeah. As a player, what do you think about these disrespectful actions by the fans toward the players?
It's disgusting. I mean, it's not basketball. It's not the way a fan should interact with a player, you know? And I don't know if people are excited to be outside. I don't know what it is, but it's been, like, very disturbing to watch. And me trying to put myself in that situation, I want to react the right way. I don't want to put myself in any harm way. So I just hope that the security part tighten up. I hope our fans and people who come and watch this play perform and just see that it's not right on TV. It's not right to treat a player like that. So I just try to put myself in a situation and hopefully it never happens, but I just want to be able to handle it the right way. And I feel like those guys who've been in those situations in our league has handled it the right way.
Obviously, you went to the finals last year with the Miami Heat, and now you are in the Western Conference Finals with the Suns. What's the difference between these two playoff runs inside and outside the bubble?
What's the difference? I mean, in the bubble, you spend more time with your teammates. I feel like that helped us in Miami. It helped us gain some camaraderie together. And I felt like that definitely helped us in the bubble. Outside of the bubble, you know, you have your regular routine, so things go back to normal a little bit. But home court advantage has been great. No lie, I can't even lie about that. Home court advantage has been tremendous for our group, for our young guys who've been in the playoffs for the first time. Just help them be comfortable, play in that backyard a little bit, somewhere they feel comfortable. And I feel like that honestly has been the difference in these playoffs, just home court advantage.
Well, we're going to be rooting for you and the Suns. I'm really close to Monty. Willie Green is like my little brother. CP3, since I started JRLA, has been influencing our students and allowing them to go from Detroit to his camp in Carolina. Okay? So I'm rooting for you guys. Thank you very much for taking the time. Kip Grillier is my brother, so you know I'm locked in. I'm one call away, family. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Jacoby. Thank you, too, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you, guys.
Appreciate the love.